Welcome to this episode of the Pharmaceutical Executive Podcast. I'm Miranda Schmalfus, an editor with Pharmaceutical Executive. On this week's episode, Ian Bayer, founder and CEO of Sooth, is back, and we're talking the main contributors of social media uncertainty and distrust, how that damages relationships between the pharmaceutical industry and its patients, the impact of social media distrust on pharmaceutical marketing in general, how pharma can effectively combat mis- and disinformation, and a whole lot more. Also, Pharmaceutical Executive has a brand new look. You might notice our new podcast logo, but check it out while you click through our February issue that I'll link in the description of this episode. Enjoy! Well, I'm back with one of my favorites, Ian from Sooth. Love to have you.
Thanks.
We're going to be having a discussion today about distrust and uncertainty in social media and the industry. So I'm just going to go and jump right in, Ian. What do you think are the main contributors behind the uncertainty and distrust in social media right now?
Oh, gosh. I mean, this has been building for a while, right? I think the last two political presidential election cycles have created a different awareness about social media, how content gets created, the nature of influence, the way data is used. Certainly the whole Cambridge Analytica scandal from years back created a lot of alarm among people when they looked at content that was posted in social media and left them questioning, is this fact, is this fiction, is this opinion? Do I trust the source it's coming from? Of course, now with the advent of AI, you even have, do I trust that the source is actually who the source claims to be? So there's just so much of a swirl. And unfortunately, where, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, none of the social media platforms had a very strong political bent one way or the other. Now we have platforms that lean more in one direction and more of in another direction. And so the whole notion of it being an echo chamber gets greatly increased. So yet you have a lot of factors at play. The weirdness is, at the same time, people still trust friends and family and influencers in social media more than they trust companies in social media. So it's a really odd state of affairs and a picture that's continuing to resolve as certain things proceed here in the US, whether it's, you know, some of the legislative things being discussed, what's going to happen to TikTok. We've got a lot of winds blowing here.
Absolutely. And one of the bigger developments, I think, in social media recently was when the EMA recently put out a statement on X saying that they were taking a break from posting from there. They have a significant following on there. I mean, their Blue Sky, their account where they migrated to, gaining a lot of following still. But it does leave that uncertainty for patients of, okay, so now government agencies are leaving platforms. So where do I get that information? So my question to you is, how does an uncertainty of where to find information, coupled with that distrust that we were talking about in social media, damage the relationship between the pharmaceutical companies and the patients that they're trying to serve?
Look, the healthcare industry has had a trust gap to close with most individuals in the U.S. for years now, right? It's been growing distrust in the institutions. Now, suddenly, you know, there's distrust in certain areas of science. I think no matter how you felt about the COVID pandemic and the way it was treated, you probably came out of that three-year period with a different point of view on how much you should trust any healthcare information that's put out there in social media. Certainly, you don't take anything at face value. The decision to pull out of Twitter, well, that's happening in a lot of places because Twitter has gone both more partisan than it has been in the past, but also has backed off of a lot of fact-checking. And Meta's recent announcement that they are going to adopt Twitter's methods when it comes to fact checking. I think we'll call into question similarly the validity of that platform. Blue Sky just doesn't have the adoption rate. I think one of the big movements that we are expecting to see will be around private sharing of content. One-to-one sharing, which it's funny, somebody nicknamed it dark social like 10 years ago. And the result is everyone says, oh, that sounds creepy. That sounds like the dark web. And as a result, no one ever wants to talk about it. But all dark social refers to is one-to-one content sharing. It's dark because it's not tracked through any of the analytic platforms, whether it's Google Analytics or the Meta package or whatever the case may be. But there's going to be a lot more opportunity, especially because of that trust factor I mentioned earlier, because almost 70% of people say, I trust information more if it comes from someone I know, even if I only know that person as a social media influencer, than if it comes directly from a company. So I would look for a lot more content partnerships where the individual putting their mark or their endorsement or simply forwarding or posting a piece of information may have that bit of endorsing trust that makes the recipient more comfortable with the information they're getting. But I mean, how funky is that? That, like, I need my aunt to tell me this is true because, I don't trust Pfizer or J&J. It's a very odd time.
I agree. I think that it's so interesting because social media, one of the great strengths of it is that it makes information more accessible. And somehow we've gotten into a place where that accessibility is negative because you have people that immediately, now that the EMA is no longer posting on X, there's somebody that is mimicking the tag of the
That's
EMA
right.
and buying the check mark and will continue posting. Somebody that doesn't know the difference between a blue check mark and a gold check mark versus having no check mark at all can see that and just take it and run with it. I mean, I see that with family members that'll send me things. I mean, it's a very, small, minuscule thing, but I have a dog named Griffin. My mom will send me things on Instagram about, oh, this is toxic. And then I have to go and I say, Mom, click on the person's profile. And if they have a link tree that sells things like hydrogen water,
Right.
but you have to do that fact checking. And it's almost
Right.
like people have to go ahead and say, to know that Pfizer did say this or that Moderna did say this, they almost have to do the job that I'm doing, go on their actual site, go in the news section, and make sure that they're saying it, or have somebody like their CEO or somebody big in their company jump online on a video on live.
Right.
Because videos can also be AI, jump on live and deliver a message. It's just so interesting how we've gotten there.
Well, and still, I think people, if something comes from a medical influencer that they trust, they will put a lot of stock in it. That's not necessarily a good thing because many medical influencers are being paid by, some of the, especially when we get into the bizarro land of nutraceuticals. And I'm a big fan of nutritional therapy. I use vitamins and supplements in many ways to help me manage my own well-being. I'm very careful in the research I do. But when you look at what's out there, you scroll through Facebook and you get videos that I saw. I'm diabetic, so I got a video in my feed where it was just testimonials from people explaining how they were able to give up their metformin. Because now they're taking this supplement that was like some sort of quacky, no medical science whatsoever. But the problem is, as all of us who work in healthcare marketing know, they are completely unregulated. The nutraceutical players, as long as they do that little disclaimer that nobody pays attention to, that these statements were not verified by the FDA, and none of these products have been tested. And we don't really know for a fact that any of these things do say what we just told you and guarantee you that they do. A lot of people don't pay attention to the disclaimers. They're just like, oh my gosh, I can take this thing and it's cheap, or it won't give me the side effects of the drugs I take. And if it comes from the right social influencer, you've got people taking themselves off proven therapies in the interest of something cheaper, better, more accessible, doesn't require them to go to a doctor to check in and check their blood levels and the way they're reacting to things. And that's terrible. So actually, I'm hopeful that our regulatory bodies actually take more of a look at the way nutraceuticals are allowed to promote themselves, especially when they name drugs specifically and say this vitamin product replaces this drug. That's very dangerous territory, and I think is abusing a system that was really put in place to give people access to alternative treatments.
Absolutely. And it scratches the surface of where I'm going to go next, because the consequences of what you're talking about could cost people their lives. I mean,
No question.
that's not a joke. That's not an exaggeration. You take yourself off of something that is proven and that has worked for you because somebody on TikTok told you to, and you don't consult a doctor. I mean, that's the boilerplate of any commercial. Consult with your physician. You know,
That's right.
everything, medical care is an art, and it's different for everybody. Just because something works for you doesn't mean that it'll work for me, doesn't mean that it'll work for my friend, my cousin, my sister.
But it's really tricky. Even the phrase you just used, consult with your physician, is part of fair balance, something that the unregulated side of the industry doesn't have to worry about.
Yeah, it's like you said, like the disclaimer that no one's paying attention to. It's like clicking off terms of service. As patients, we have to be, you know, you have to be your biggest advocate and be checking for those things. So, anyway, getting back to those consequences, what are the consequences of public distrust of social media, and how will that impact pharma marketing and pharma's presence on the various social media platforms?
Especially in the healthcare category, which in the US is going through so much in terms of, public debate, political debate, the whole economic model being called into question, people having questions about their health insurance and what it covers, and they're paying more for that insurance and often are paying more out of pocket for drugs. And now you've got companies out there purporting, oh, I'll save you all that. You don't need a doctor and you don't need a pharmacist and you don't need health insurance. Just take this magic bottle of pills. And if it comes recommended by somebody I trust, who again may be getting spiffed for making that recommendation, say, my God, I've never felt so good. I've never felt so young. It's potentially very damaging. And it's a debate that needs to be brought to the forefront much more. Again, I'm as big a fan of alternative medicine as anybody. I have been seeing a naturopath for 20 years. I'm a believer in that stuff. But it has to be regulated. And, I have to know that there's some standardization around what I'm getting and some science behind it. But, even science itself is now much more open to question somehow than it's ever been, because even science often is seen as having its own biases, as evidenced by the fact that the number of flat earthers is growing in this country.
Oh, you're so funny. Oh, God. But it's so true, because how did we go from them being our brightest minds? You know, I mean, we put people on the moon, you know, like
Right.
the research is being done. And just because all of a sudden somebody doesn't trust it, just because you've never heard it, there are plenty of things that are being researched right now that you don't hear about. Because if we went through, it would take up too much time. And also mass hysteria. If you found out about everything that we were researching and stuff like that, and isn't it good to have a solution to something? I don't understand. Like,
Right.
that's the point of research, is to
Well,
find
look, healthy
a solution.
questioning is a good thing.
Absolutely.
Right? Because we've had, quote unquote, research fed into the public space for decades that later have been turned out to be funded by, this chemical company or that agricultural lobby or, and often we get facts that we later find out are actually not facts. More than anything, I think the important advice I would give to anybody in this space is figure out who you trust and only see what they think. Don't canvas all of social media and say, well, of the 50 opinions I just read on whether, this would be a healthy way for me to lose weight, 39 said it was good. No, all that really matters are the one or two that based on their track record, based on their credentials, based on their credibility, that you can trust. And there's a great opportunity for every pharma company to become an authoritative voice. I've worked with just about every big pharmaceutical company in the world over the course of my career. And if I go back to the 1990s when I started in this, we looked at certain drug categories and said, oh, patients just want somebody to be the voice of reason, the voice of authority, the voice of facts. Okay, here we are now in 2025. 30 years later, that hasn't changed. And there's more of an opportunity to be that authoritative voice. But in order to be accepted that way, I think the drug companies need to do a couple of things. One, they need to do a better job of partnering with voices that might have more trust out there. Medical influencers, they're great at KOLs for the professional marketing environment. But really, every drug should kind of have its own, I hate to say Dr. Oz because even he has become somewhat politicized, but a friendly, accepted voice of reason who can add the emotional trust factor to the credible clinical information drug companies are very good at providing. That leads to my next point. We can't speak in clinical terms as an industry and expect the average consumer, the average patient to understand what we're talking about. So, drug companies have always had to work within the boundaries of, FDA communications guidelines. That remains true, but it doesn't mean we can't simplify things even more. Health literacy is one thing, but the reality is most people aren't health literate, certainly not to the extent we'd like them to be. Help me understand what these things mean, what these things mean to me. Let patients tell more of their own stories. That's, Miranda, we've gotten to know each other for a while, and probably every time we've spoken, I've said, please bring out the voice of patients, because that's another great way that healthcare brands can bridge that credibility gap. I'm a lot more interested as a patient in following somebody's journey who maybe got there a few steps ahead of me. They am in hearing one more doctor tell me how, a certain drug is going to be the right thing for me, or actually, patients can say things that healthcare brands cannot say directly. So often it's a better place to be that emotional touchstone.
Absolutely. You have a family physician that, my family's been going to you for years. You trust that opinion. And I think that in like social media comment sections, it's great because you can share, you can find those people that are a couple of steps ahead of you and said, listen, this did not work for me, or
Right.
this was a symptom that I did have. You're feeling completely normal. Unfortunately, I do feel like there is like the negative aspect where like people will just make you feel bad just for, asking a question and, oh, how stupid are you? Things like that. But I do think that it does venture on the positive. And I would love to see brands get more involved in their community and be in
No
the comment
question. I
section.
was just thinking, like, when's the last time I saw a pharmaceutical company lead a conversation on Reddit? Never.
Yeah, never.
There is such fear of what if somebody reports an adverse reaction in the middle of this Reddit thread? You know what? We've got to just suck it up and be less fearful of spaces like Reddit and Discord. Yes, they require moderation. Yes, some things are going to have to be taken offline for individual response, but the alternative is just burying your head in the sand, or worse, ceding the conversation to people who are not in a position to lead a dialogue on a certain condition or, new area of treatment. And they are leading those conversations right now on Reddit threads. So it's time to show up.
Yeah. And if there's a negative that's being identified, Why can't we take that and turn it into a positive? If patients are reporting on this specific symptom, why don't we say, thank you for that information and that data. Let's go back to our brightest minds and figure out how we can assuage that. Let's lessen that. Let's figure out a way to make that so it's not so.
Right. And
Absolutely.
yet, does it have to be reported to the FDA? If it, yes, but so does, lots of website interactions and interactions on your Facebook pages. And that's just the world we live in today. You can't flip the switch and make it 1990 anymore.
I think that the big word there is accountability, and you
Yes.
can't be so afraid of holding yourself accountable because I think by holding themselves accountable, they'll build that trust between the community because they'll say, okay, yeah, I said that I'm taking this medication and I kept getting headaches. And you know what? They actually revisited the formula and I don't get headaches now.
That's right. I was just on a podcast the other day outside the healthcare space, more of a general marketing podcast. And we talked about people's distrust of online reviews. And the star rating has become less and less important to people, but what they actually do is they'll scroll down in an online review. And one of the big things people look for is how did you respond to a poor review? So very often now, somebody looks at a product on Amazon and they'll see it has 4.6 stars, but they're going to look at the 1-star reviews and the 2-star reviews, not the 4-star reviews. They want to see what people complained about, but they also want to see what the company, what the manufacturer did or said in response to that review. Very similarly in the healthcare space, yes, there are going to be uncomfortable subjects that are brought to the surface, but people are going to be looking for that authoritative response. And it's a tremendous opportunity for a drug company to step in to a non-professional debate on Reddit and say, actually, we know more about this condition than anyone. We help, 34 million people around the world who suffer from the same thing as you. And here are some links to our best, most credible research.
Absolutely. And there's a saying in comment sections, come with receipts. And they can, in a HIPAA compliant way, come with receipts.
That's
Or
right. That's right. Where, the average social media influencer can say, oh, you don't believe me? Look at my last 5 TikTok videos. They don't have the same credibility to, point to studies and white papers. And so again, great opportunity to dive in, but take some bravery.
so we definitely got into this a little bit, but my last question for you, how can pharma companies effectively combat that misinformation, disinformation, the uncertainty, and the distrust going on?
Not with force, not with being louder, not with saying we're the authority, we know better, but actually with a much more cooperative spirit. If you know that the average person trusts friends and family and influencers more than they trust you as an institution, partner with those people, give them the content. 84% of all social sharing happens through one-to-one sharing of links. Give the people who are out there acting like authorities the right information to share. Better information, more credible information, better produced information. People will share the content that most reflects on their own personal brand and authority. So I would say, don't treat the other voices as competition that needs to be squashed. Find some voices to partner with that can actually amplify and give greater one-to-one credibility than you have on your own as a pharma brand.
That 84% statistic is interesting because Instagram did flip its algorithm for engagement, where likes pretty much mean nothing, but people that are saving, people that are sharing the posts, that's the value, and that's what's going to boost something up more.
Yes.
You know,
And
it's
Mark Zuckerberg recently made an announcement that really indicates across the entire Meta platform, that's going to be the case. It's really going to be tuned much more towards private sharing than public sharing.
towards the end of 2024, I did read Hootsuite's trends report, and they were saying the more personalized communities, that's going to become like the more niche that things are, that's going to become more popular. You're going to see an influx of things on LinkedIn, on Facebook about like treatment specific, maybe not treatment specific, but disease specific groups where
Yes.
people are sharing things, sharing their journeys. I mean, I'm a 2025 bride. I'm in a bunch of bridal groups. We share a bunch of things, you know, and advice there and how to deal with situations. So seeing that, it's a no-brainer to see that in a medical sense.
And the more controlled the community is, the less somebody has to worry about there being, AI bots amongst you pushing the wrong information. It's a curated group of sources that I believe in. And I certainly think we're going to see a lot more of these private networks emerge, because if I'm really going to be in an echo chamber in social media, no matter what, I might as well personally curate that echo chamber with people I trust.
Absolutely. Well, Ian, you're somebody that I trust, and I love talking to you every time.
Thank
So
you, Miranda.
thank you so much for spending some time this morning with me. And I can't wait to work with you again.
Great catching up with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Pharmaceutical Executive Podcast, where we take you behind the headlines to provide expert tips from industry leaders. Remember, you can always find us on the web at pharmexec.com. On Facebook under Pharmaceutical Executive Magazine, on X at PharmExec, and on Instagram and Threads at PharmExecutive. The views on this podcast do not reflect those of MJH Life Sciences, our parent company, or our advertisers. For editorial questions or to get in touch with our editors, please email us at pharmexec@mjhlifesciences.com. And for sponsorship opportunities, please go to pharmexec.com/advertise. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time.